As I was thinking about what our passage to preach this week, I thought what better one than one that we went through during our devotion time while we were away. So we'll be opening up to Acts 16, verses 16 through 34. And verses, or the passage will also be on the slides. We were going to the place of prayer. We met a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept up this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he had received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They then spoke the word of the Lord to him and to the others and all the others in his house. At the hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds, and then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them, and he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. This is the word of the Lord. So over our serve week, the theme we walked through our devotions and worship time was surprised by God. I think we should put more sermon titles on shirts. Teaching with Semika would fit really nicely on a shirt. But we went through the many times in the Bible where God performed wonders and miracles for his people. From Genesis to Revelation, God had worked on the behalf of his people for his glory and their benefit. Even when the initial surprises were difficult. We read the story about Moses at the burning bush when God selected a man with a speech impediment to speak on behalf of him. Then the story of Elijah on the run from King Ahab after he prophesied against him, where God provided food via ravens. We celebrated Christmas in July and the surprise of the Son of God being born to lowly parents. Then Jesus' first miracle, where he turned water into wine after the wedding nearly ran out. And we spent our last morning devotional time on this text. So let me ask you a question we were asked early on in the week, probably about the second or third night we were together. When you think of the word surprise, what comes to mind? There might be many things that come to mind. The pastor speaking to us that week asked us to share the surprise with our neighbor next or two next to us, and overhearing the high schoolers surrounding us, the leaders I was sitting next to and I heard many of the fun surprises or that they had, or the various times they've skirted something that they maybe should have gotten hit a little harder with, like making the cut on the team, a friend showing up who they hadn't seen in a long time, getting a better grade in the test than they really deserve based on how much preparation they did. Lots of good and nice things. Then we kind of looked at each other and laughed because what the leaders and I were thinking of were all the negative surprises. Everything from stubbed toes to flat tires to medical diagnoses that came out of nowhere. One surprise I remembered from my college days was when I went to East Africa on a service trip. We were there to help with an ESL school, and there learn from the humanitarian workers how they were sharing the gospel in their closed context. This was when COVID was still around, back in winter of 21, if I recall, or 22. And the time that we had there was great. The travel was poor. When we had to leave, we had to get COVID tests to hit the flight back, which took about a day. And when we went to pick them up the day that we were of our flight, I tested positive, which means I could not board the plane back home. Not the surprise we were really looking for. I knew that I was already missing my first day of class, even if the plane had taken off on time, but I immediately went to how I would do school 7,500 miles away from where school was, and how I would have to probably be there for a couple weeks. We were able to get another test in to confirm or deny, but we had to wait another day. And so we sent the couple of my college friends who had come along, and I stayed behind with a staff member who had come with us to wait for my results. Not really the surprise we were looking for. And when we think of surprise like a birthday party surrounded by loved ones, cake, and balloons, others think of surprises when their heart sank to the bottom and life has not been the same since. These surprises are hard. As I was writing the sermon this week, I remembered someone in Sarah and my other circles who lost both their spouse and their mom. Frankly, I can't imagine that. The surprise rocked their world. Those negative surprises, even when it isn't devastating news, but something that's just highly inconvenient and that frustrates us, they're just not uncommon to see. We ask, why do these things happen? What good can come out of these terrible circumstances? How are we to respond to these negative surprises? We can see through by how Paul and Silas encountered their unfortunate surprise here. As they were spending time in Philippi, they encountered a young slave girl following them and harassing them, calling out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And while this might seem like a helpful call out to the city, instead, Paul grows annoyed by it. Paul's not the first person to grow annoyed by spirits and demons pronouncing their call. Jesus, back in Luke 4, casts out a demon from a man who was proclaiming Jesus was the Son of the Holy One of God. Similar to Jesus, Paul does not want the gospel to be moved by a spirit other than from God. Paul had encounters on his previous missionary journey where the people of Lystra were calling him and Barnabas Hermes and Zeus, and also again on Cyprus, where he dealt with a prophet who was calling himself the Son of Jesus, steering people away from Christ. Paul knew that the voice calling out praise was one that would seek to sink the gospel message in Philippi, given the chance. Now, casting out the spirit from this girl would seem like a nice thing, especially for her. But as with many deeds of the kingdom, they do not go unpunished. The spirit this girl had was very profitable for her masters. For her owners, this was their business. Selling her divinations was their livelihood. She goes on for many days following this group from out of town, citing a new vision, which is all well and good. These things sometimes happen with the spirit. Then one of the out-of-towners does the worst thing imaginable for her owners. They cast out the demon. This is as bad as the barn burning down with all the crops inside. At least a decent chunk of how they provided for themselves and their family went away in moments. And with that disruption to their way of life, the girl's slavers became filled with rage and dragged Paul and Silas before the city leaders. Again, not the thanks you would expect from freeing this girl from the spirit possessing her. Moreover, when Paul and Silas are brought before the city leaders, they are not freed. Instead, they're beaten and stripped. After being berated, mocked, beaten, battered, and bruised, they are taken to one of the most secure places in the city prison and are fastened to the floor. Now, when Paul cast the spirit out of the girl, I don't think he was expecting that he and Silas were going to sleep that night on a stone floor, feeling all the parts of the body that they didn't remember they could feel with every shift. And while sitting in prison, who knew what tomorrow would bring? Would this be the end? They would not be the first martyrs for the gospel, but they very well could be the next ones. It wasn't looking good for them. How would you have responded? If I was taken down over to the jail for something that I thought was right, I would still be freaking out a good deal. And beside myself, not knowing what was ahead. Only able to think of all the ways that this could end poorly. Paul and Silas responded differently. Instead of entering despair, they prayed and started singing. Were they worried? The text doesn't directly say, but I imagine so. I imagine their prayers included being delivered from the prison cell they were currently sitting in. But I also imagine their prayers and songs included a praise to God for what he has done. And while we're here in this space, it can often be easy to praise God for what he has done. Many of us have jobs that we mostly enjoy or retirement that we're currently living out. We mostly live in comfortable homes. We throw out food because we had too much food that we let it go to waste. There are many things to thank God for in this room, and it's easy in that regard to praise him. But there are others in this room who might find it hard to sing. Songs like, "Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God," when it's really just hard to find that thing to be grateful for or to give praise for, whether it be due to the loss of a job, the treatment not working, the death of someone close that is as fresh as it was yesterday. All these things are just difficult and sit with us heavily. And we wonder how it is that we can lift up that praise. But for Paul and Silas, they knew that who was over their imprisonment, who was over their difficult situation, and who their praise, whether or not they necessarily felt like all of it in that moment, needed to be given to. And their response was seen by others in the prison. We're told that the fellow prisoners were listening to them. We're not told of how they responded to Paul and Silas's prayer and singing, but Paul and Silas's response to their unwelcome surprise was noticed by others. They didn't seem to be meaning to be witnessing to all the others in the prison, but their fellow prisoners saw how they were dealing with their imprisonment differently. They were dealing with being in prison, and they were taking the time to look upwards to the one who holds all things. Whether they would be killed or freed, they knew that God was the one in control and wanted to give him the praise. And God shows up in this situation in a more immediate fashion than we often find, and turns what was for good, what was painful. First, God rocked the prison. To everyone's shock and amazement, they were all freed from being shackled behind bars to being able to walk out of here as easily as walking out these doors. And we are not told who else was in the prison, whether they were there unjustly or if they necessarily belonged there. But another amazing thing happened that no one just ran away as soon as the doors went open. Everyone in the prison stayed put when they had the chance to escape, which was good because when the jailer wakes up, he finds that door open. And for him, that meant terrible things. If you were a Roman soldier or a jailer and a prisoner escaped under your watch, you were responsible for the punishment that they would have had. Often this meant a tortured death. And when the Philippian jailer wakes up from the place being rattled to find the door open to the prison, he fears for his life and finds it would probably be better for him to just end his life now than for waiting for the city leaders to deal with him. But thankfully, Paul cries out to the jailer that they are all still there. He did not need to fear the punishment. And then these last five verses of our text today, we see God's greatest surprise. The jailer asks about the message Paul and Silas were meant to proclaim. Through all of the hardship, the pain, the hurt, the suffering Paul and Silas went through, God used it for something. And in fact, he used it for the most amazing thing. God used their suffering to bring another one of his lost sheep back into the fold. It was not only the jailer, but also all of his family who heard and believed. God took the persecution of Paul and Silas and all of their suffering and use it to turn their jailers in towards Christ. This would not be the only time Paul does his prison ministry. Most of the time we like to think of prison ministry as we get to go, we get to talk, and we get to leave again. For Paul, prison ministry is I was sent to prison and I guess I'm going to do ministry while I'm here. Paul wrote to this church that he started here in Philippi, right here in Acts 16, or his letter to the Philippians as he awaited trial for Caesar in Rome. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Even while he was awaiting his likely death in Rome, Paul uses his situation to still proclaim the gospel. Paul actually writes a great deal in the book of Philippians about dealing with the poor surprises and suffering them well. In Philippians 2, he writes, "Even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me, even in my suffering." Paul considered everything to be losses if it kept him from getting closer to Christ. It does not matter the bumps or the bruises or the losses or the suffering, so long as the gospel was advancing, both outside of himself and within. Paul knew where he and his brothers and sisters in Christ were going, so he did not fear the suffering or pain, though he leapt alongside of them when they did experience losses. And like Paul and Silas, God often brings the good out from negative surprises in our own lives. From knowing a pain to help someone else's, to bringing us closer to him, God has worked many things planned for evil into good for his people. Not all of our suffering is a result of our work for the kingdom, but there is plenty of suffering and pain out in the world. There have been many times throughout the history of the church that God has turned the hardship and suffering into opportunities for growth in the kingdom. When I was stranded in Africa waiting for my secondary test results back, I had a full day to just sit and watch, waiting for the test to be negative. This was a situation that we were dreading when planning this in the middle of COVID. But it did happen, and Thomas and I were stuck. I was helpless to get back home from anything that I could do, but God was still there. It came a day where Thomas and I got to spend with our hosts, getting to spend more time with them and their kids and getting to know the work that they were doing. In addition, I got to know God more directly, that he was good and he was watching over me, even when I didn't necessarily know what was ahead. The following day, when we get to find out our test results, I knew that I would be okay, regardless of whether or not I would stick there for another couple weeks, because God was with me. Thankfully, I tested negative on the secondary confirmation test, and we were able to board a plane and make the flight back home. There are other trials that we go through that are not necessarily for us, but for someone else. The common phrase we like to talk about this form of learning is the easy way or the hard way. For various things in life, many of us have learned the hard way because we placed ourselves there, like parents who taught their children not to touch the hot stove because they've burned themselves on it a time or two. For other areas of life, the hard ways found us. Getting rear-ended because someone wasn't paying attention on the road, or getting laid off because the business wasn't doing well. It became very easy to get caught in our own negative surprises and suffering that we look down where we cannot find answers. But if we look up, we see the bigger picture of what God has in store. That does not mean we understand our current struggles. There are some surprises that we cannot fathom what good or how God is working in it or why God would allow it. Some surprises we will not know where God was working in them in this life. But we trust that he continues to work. We know how the story ends, and we know the one who will restore all things. And because we know that the place is being prepared for us and we await a glorious day to go home to be with God forever. In the meantime, God has provided a community for us to walk in. Thankfully for Paul and Silas, they had each other to be encouraged by, to point each other up to the one who was in control when they were feeling weak. And likewise for us, he gave us one another to walk alongside when we are in struggle, as a body and as individuals. As this church has had been in a long search for a pastor, and as we individually grieve the loss of loved ones in our families, as we seek to go out to bring the gospel to Jenison and Hudsonville, and as we struggle, and as we might struggle individually to go on another day, Jesus continues to grow his body, making it stronger and larger. We do not walk the road alone, but walk arm in arm with our brothers and sisters. Paul encourages this throughout his letter back to the Philippians, that they may remain strong together in Christ. Because when we decide to go alone, either apart from God or each other, we realize how difficult the road really is. It is hard enough when we walk it together. Sometimes, of the most clear times I have seen God working, has been in how he has been working through the people around me in the community to support me, to correct me, to push me, and to transform my difficult seasons into things that glorify him. One of our closing songs of response talks about how God's turning unwanted surprises and circumstances for our good and his glory. The bridge goes like this. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. Because when we encounter these circumstances in life, we know that there's only one who can bring good out of it. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted, and we continue to praise him for the work that he has done and is doing. And we look forward to the day when his work is done and we get to rejoice with him forever. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for continuing to be with us, to bring comfort in the times that are just difficult, that are places that we don't know what is ahead. But we know you are there, and we know that you are with us, even in the lowest valleys. And we still get to see you in those places and get to continue to praise you. And for that, we thank you. In your name, pray. Amen.